Thank you for tuning in to this message from Kingdom Heirs International, headquarters located in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Dealing with stiff-necked, anything that we have in our lives that's relating to being stiff-necked, stiff-neckedness. And I feel, I mean, in the spirit, I feel deeply exposed, and just for myself, I was actually had a physical heart surgery this last week, a second one, and Yahweh was speaking about how, you know, it was just no accident that the week that he spoke over us about dealing with our heart, I had this opportunity to go and physically have surgery on my own heart, and for the second time. And it just really spoke mercy to me. He wants us prepared. He wants us to be dealing with this so that we can take our place that he's assigned for us. And it's not because of our own righteousness, and we know that. And so I just want to... I had an image of a heart being circumcised. I actually had one that was a little more realistic looking and really graphic, and Amber and Jay probably rightly told me to maybe tone it down a little.
Why would you do such a thing?
I don't think they wanted their kids to get nightmares. It was which is probably a good call. But if you guys want to see the other one, I'll be happy to send it out. So, but I want to just invite us all now to this last week. We have embraced what Yahweh's doing in our lives, and I look forward to more. It sounds like we've got a lot more headed our way, so I'm extremely grateful for what Yahweh's doing. So,
well, thank you, Eric. Thanks for hosting the environment tonight. I think that picture is awesome, and I think it is really powerful to be under whatever this word is going to address after what was established in us last Friday. I don't know how to summarize or speak to what was established after Friday. But what I will say is that a mom who's willing to be an instrument to say enough and call her household to a place is an incredible gift. And I'm honored to sit under it tonight again, but on the other side of exposure, an invitation into life that I don't know if I've ever felt before. So whatever it means for moving into this portion, I'm definitely ready. So obviously we recognize you don't have dad tonight, so I'm sure that feels vulnerable, but we are fully underneath and submitted and carrying just awareness of your heart tonight in everything that you brought last Friday and had to walk through, you know, just preparation for this week. So,
all right. I am always going to teach. Obviously, we've all read the Torah portion, right?
That's right.
I'm always going to teach what's required of us. I'm never going to stop. I am always going to teach our requirement. It's my job to build his people in the way that they should go. That's what I was called to do. I wasn't called to be a worship leader. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying I was not called to lead worship.
Yeah.
I was not called to be a feel-good preacher who collects the masses.
Yeah.
Yeah. With all their creepy crawlies under a facade shell.
Yeah.
I wasn't called to that, or else we would not be sitting here in this small little confined space where there's nothing but exposure that can happen, right? I wasn't called to that. There are times where I wish I was. I was called to dig out the gold, demand fullness, and not to settle for anything less.
Right.
My obedience is to that, and that is greater than your comfort or your likeness of me. I'm not saying you don't like me. I'm just saying. I have to remind myself that my obedience to just want the gold in someone is bigger than the fear of what it's going to take when I dig. Because when I dig, it's messy.
Yeah.
But I'm called to that gold regardless.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't like it that I'm messy because then they're messy. Mm-hmm. Or they have to go through the mess to be able to find the gold. But you have to understand that there is gold inside that mess. That's what I'm called to. I would assume that we all know this, or you wouldn't be sitting here.
Yeah.
You'd be a part of the masses with a facade.
Yeah.
But in this house, we can't fall trap to allowing things to get so familiar and then kind of operate that way with just a couple of things that don't look like religion. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, we don't want to be a shell, but then say we're close family.
Yeah.
Like, it's all or nothing. And that's another thing. I'm called to all or nothing. I'm just an extreme person. I don't do things halfway. So it wouldn't make sense to operate in some things and then take the things that are beneficial to a small family, but then disregard the things that are hard in a small family. Because you can hide in the masses. You're not going to hide in intimacy with him, right? One-on-one. Make sense? So what I have in my notes here is that in some twisted way, you were all called to the exact same standard.
Yeah.
It was not just me. You were all called to dig out gold. You were all called to be messy. You were all called to say, I am not settling for anything less than the absolute fullness, no matter what it takes.
Yeah.
You were all called to that too, or you wouldn't be here. So we're going to continue. And I said on Voxer, and I said it last week, I'm going to try really hard to give you the bare bones. I told Sean in the car, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put you right smack in the middle of this Torah portion. I'm not going to allow you to veer off in order to negate what you actually have to look at.
Yeah.
I'm not realizing that that's what's going on because I'm so excited about what's to come. In fact, anyway, it's crazy. Of course I study the Torah portion. Right? That's what we all do. Starting on Shabbat morning, sometimes even at night, tonight, I'm already in that next Torah portion and I am doing what I need to do to get in there. But as far as tonight, I waited until 2 hours ago, maybe 3 hours ago, and I gave myself a time limit, 30 minutes. Yahweh, what do you want to say? And at first I thought, what if he's like, I thought, you know what? I'm so free. We could sit here. I'll stare at you. Because it's not me or you. Outside of who we are, Yahweh's going to have his way. It'll be a lot easier if you're moldable. It'll be a lot easier if it's in the moment instead of when it's spoiled. Right? But he's going to do it. So there's freedom, and I don't have to say anything. And he's going to do what he's going to do. Because I have a feeling that last Friday there wasn't anything I said because it was like... But it wasn't until a couple days later that I realized the Spirit was moving.
Yeah.
So I'm also, like, you're free. Whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
If you need to sit there and stare off into space, if you need to fall asleep. I mean, I know I said last week that sucks. But be real.
Yeah.
Meaning, if I say I don't like it when you fall asleep, that's disrespectful. Don't try to not fall asleep, but actually be asleep inside. If you're asleep, just fall asleep.
Yeah.
But just make sure you go home and deal with it while you're asleep instead of like, that's normal. It's not normal.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. So I have three. Yeah. I have three things. And it was quick. I sat down immediately. He told me these are the three things I want you to extract from the word. And then he actually gave a warning. He told me not to touch chapter 11. And I'll tell you why. Like, I started getting into chapter 11. I'm like, love and obey with all your heart. And he said, don't go there. So we're not going to go there, but I'm going to explain why. So it was like loud and clear. I heard his voice for our family. Okay? Number one. Hold on, I need some water. Number one's awkward.
Good.
I'm going in chronological order of the Torah portion. But I find it interesting, after last week, Moshe says, "Don't forget, I did it again." So you have a leader in your life that even when you fall into idolatry, you fall into sin, you fall into forgetfulness, you fall into not understanding what's going on and you turn to other ways, you have a leader that is saying, "We'll do it again. We'll go back up the mountain. We'll spend another 40 days, another 40 nights." You have that. You have that in us. And because you have that in us, I'm not pointing to myself. I'm equipping. It should be you too. That you would do it again on behalf of someone else. That you would be willing to do it again. Because if he is a prototype of Yeshua, he will do it again. He'll say, "Okay, you broke covenant. I'm going back up the mountain." But here's what's interesting. He goes back up the mountain and he says, "But this time, I'm not going anywhere but just right here." He said, "When I do it, I'm going to build an ark. I'm going to put some protection around it this time."
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let that settle. "I'll do it again. But I'm going to build something with acacia wood that will not rot.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually guard and safeguard so it can't be broken. It will be guarded and protected." Sound like take care? Yeah. Same for you. If you find yourself having to do it again, build something around it that's going to safeguard the word over your life so you don't have to do it over and over and over again, because we're going to move to number two. Okay, that's it, number one. Number one is leader, mediator, will stand again. After it was broken. Number one. Got it? Number two, movement. So after he does it again, what I mean by that is don't let that be your reasoning to just say, "Well, we'll just do it again." Because in verse 10, I'm going to read it. "I stayed on the mountain like the first time. 40 days and 40 nights. Adonai listened to me that time also and was not willing to destroy you. Adonai said to me, 'Rise up, go, journey ahead of the people so that they may go and possess the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them.'" Movement. What does that mean? I would think that it is the least we can do in gratitude that he did not utterly destroy us.
Yeah.
That if anything, we would just move, rise up, and go.
Yeah.
At least that. That's what that means by when we use language that becomes familiar, like do the work. That's what this is talking about. That you, the least we can do is that you'd be so filled with gratitude that after you are the one that destroyed everything, that he was willing to go and do it again so that you can move. So you're not going to be stuck in a place. It's for the purpose of movement. It's for the purpose of progression. It's not for the purpose of a moment. It's for the purpose to keep going. Okay? We know this, but I'm just going to say it. A word like last Friday with being stiff-necked. When you get right with Yahweh, when you get back on track, when your stiff-neckedness is being dealt with, it has to lead you to continued progress. You can't settle for, "Well, I'm just not stiff-necked." Then you are. The purpose is to move from that place. It's to this is what I mean. Don't let the pressure of last week just be last week.
Yeah.
Let the pressure actually intensify. Let the pressure move you. Get used to pressure. Yeah. Let me give an analogy. That sounds crazy, especially if you've been under some pressure. But think about working out. You don't put yourself under pressure and then be like, "Well, next week I'm going to lighten the load."
Right. Yeah.
There's times, like on Shabbat, when you don't have to lift the heavy, like, he's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. There is a day where you don't have to lift the heavy load because he's like, I'm going to lift it for you. That's the purpose of the day, to train you that when your leader tells you to apply the pressure, that you don't fall trapped in, well, then I guess I just have to always be under pressure. He's like, time out, Shabbat.
Yeah,
but after Shabbat, get up, get going, and put that pressure right back on to keep progression so you're in a different place at the next Shabbat.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So that the stuff that's being dealt with, it has to lead you to continued progress. Let the pressure continue. It doesn't do you any good to receive a little bit of pressure, but then just be stuck in the same place.
Yeah.
Move forward and progress with him. It was not, I came off the mountain, now go. He said, so that he can lead them. He's going with you.
Yeah.
So we all know the pressure's still going to apply.
Yeah.
Because it's usually not pressure when you think he's gone and you're on your own. It's more pressure when he's with you, which is why we resist him.
Yeah,
but he knows that you're like the killer of yourself. You just don't know it. So he's trying to express to you that the pressure he's applying is actually better than the underlying pressure you've put on yourself.
Yes.
You just don't know that it's underlying pressure because it's a facade and you're deceived and you're stiff-necked.
Yes. Yeah,
right? So his pressure is good pressure. We should welcome that. And that's what I mean by that continued pressure. Don't let last week just be pressure, but allow that pressure to actually increase in your life so that you can add on more weight, get stronger. Does that make sense what I'm saying about working out? There isn't any part of my working out method that, other than certain times of training, that I would ever settle to be like, you know what, I should go back to those 8 pounders that I started with. Now I look at those and I don't even know why she has them in the gym. And then when someone new comes along, I realize, oh, well, that's why he still has those.
Yeah.
It's for those people. But it isn't for me to be like, they get to use that. I should get to use that. I need to stay with my 25s. I need to remember the progress that I had. I can't go back and I got to keep the pressure going. That's what I mean by that good pressure. Okay? All right. That's it. Number two, movement. Okay?
Okay.
I'm staying. We're good?
Yeah.
Clear, precise in the word.
Yes.
Okay. Check me. Because if you're like, you're getting swirly, just go like this. Does it make sense why I'm saying that?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I mean, I said it on Boxer, but not all of you have Boxer. Does it make sense why we're not going over here?
Yes.
It'll make sense when I get to chapter 11. All right, number 3, circumcision. Now this one's going to be hard for me because there is so much with circumcision. It was really hard for me to not want to take us into this whole thing. So I'm just going to, you guys might have to help me here, but we're going to just start with some of the basics. First of all, I'm just going to say something and you're just going to trust that it's real.
Okay.
This is new for me because I have to explain everything and then say, does that make sense? And I'm really going to try not to. I'm not going to say it anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Figure yourself out.
Yeah.
What I'm saying makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the heck? None of you traded last week. I came home completely bare. I was like, well, all right. They definitely didn't want that word. All right. Circumcision equals identity.
Yeah.
You want to study that? Study it. I don't have time to explain that. But circumcision is a mark, and it absolutely means identity. I don't mean even spiritual identity. I mean your race, ethnic. It is an identity marker. Like I am white is like circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
It's identity, okay? Because I'm not going to teach on it. Just know that that's a real thing. All right, first thing. First of all, I am just... How many of you were like, what? Paul is not the originator of a new religion, let alone a new covenant.
Yeah.
Paul is not the originator of a new religion or new covenant. Where he says that you have to circumcise your heart. Like, that wasn't post-Yeshua.
Yeah.
That should just blow your... That should just mess with you right there.
Yeah.
That if we thought that Paul came in and Yeshua came in and said, do away with the law. And only focus on the circumcision of your heart. Like, I'm not teaching on that. I'm just saying. That's interesting. Romans 2, Philippians 3, Colossians 2 was written well after Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
It's in the Torah.
Yeah.
Our little biblically illiterate minds that said, foreskin of the penis is over here, and foreskin of the heart is over here. And in the Torah, it's right there.
Yeah.
So there's a mystery in this, and we're not going to get into it tonight. But this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Here's what I want us to focus on. Did you catch the antidote? Yes?
Yeah.
Say yes. If you didn't, say no. Say it. Yes? No. No? You caught it? No? Who's no?
No.
No. Okay, let me read it. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked. The antidote to being stiff-necked is circumcision, which is identity.
Yeah.
That was it. I'll just go a little bit deeper. But that's it. So if your home was not flipped upside down after last week, let it get flipped upside down, because now you're getting the antidote to what he was talking about last week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still in this.
Yes.
He's giving us the complete opposite of what stiff-necked is everything to do with your identity, which has to do with circumcision of the heart, okay? So, actually, I already said that. I'm gonna take us back a little bit. So, if the literal stiff-neckedness did not break, we're gonna go back a little bit. Remember what he saw on us. This was not he saw on a couple people.
Yeah.
He saw it on us.
Yeah.
This is what he saw: a fragmented body.
Yes.
Remember, disassociation. That's actually reminding me of a... Sorry, hold on a second. Yeah, that's actually reminding me last week. I think it was when Amber or Jason was talking. I got a vision of a... I guess it wouldn't be a vision, but a thought of a... I'm not going to say it right. But a mental disorder, not multiple personality. But, gosh, I can't remember what it's called. It's not multiple personality.
Dissociative identity disorder.
Yes. Say it again.
Dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah, associative.
Dissociative.
Dissociative identity disorder, where they have other identities that are like programs that run that come in when trauma is triggered, or they don't want to remember something, or that... I would say identity or a program kind of helps them get through. Anyways, when they were talking, I saw that in the spirit, that religion or the way that we can be bound up. You know how we've talked about compartmentalized?
Yeah.
It's like he took us a
yes.
little bit deeper into compartmentalization.
Yeah.
That we can be so disassociated that we have different programs that pop up at different times to allow us to function in life because we're either trying to run away from something that happened that was so traumatic that we're not looking at, or it could be, it can be various different things, but I got that visual. So remember what he saw over us. What he's trying to break off of us is not just this superficial, don't be stubborn, guys.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by, it's not just getting us to a place where we're like kind of doing better in life, right? It's supposed to be, he's wanting to break off the things that are binding us so that we can be full of life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, a couple other words. Fragmented body, disassociation, desensitized. The mind becomes fragmented. forgetful, dull, loss of wisdom and life. Just not operating in wisdom. Just not operating in life. We're not free-flowing spirits. inability to apply knowledge, if knowledge is even obtained. Remember, these are all things that I said last week.
Yes.
The literal definition of stiff-necked is hard, cruel, severely obstinate, difficult, intense, vehement, stubborn, harsh, and burdensome. If all of those things did not break off last week, this week he's giving us the antidote of how to break that off. In order to be able to apply knowledge, would be circumcised. Does that make sense what I'm saying? In order to not be hard, the antidote would be to be circumcised. In order to not be severely obstinate, is to be circumcised. In order to not be fragmented or disassociated in your mind, is to be circumcised. Got it? All right. All of the things I just said basically says you're not circumcised. It's another way to say that. So the antidote is to be circumcised, or another way to, this is where it's as simple as thinking of looking at in yourself in a mirror. I know this is kind of graphic, but think about you're in a mirror. If somebody's circumcised or uncircumcised in the flesh, you can tell. If you look in the mirror and you've got a fragmented mind,
yeah,
you can tell you are not circumcised.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. If you're being difficult, you're not circumcised. If you're forgetful, you're not circumcised. If you're dull, you're not circumcised. Making sense?
Yeah.
The foundation, which this is what's so crazy, you guys. This is what is so beautiful about this family. Because the foundation to the religion that we all once were called, the religion that we all said was our truth, was marked by being circumcised in the heart. While we are fragmented, disassociated, shell with creepy crawlies that don't want to deal with anything, and we have a smile on our face. That's what we're after. We don't want to just break out of religion and be like, well, I left. This is recorded. Wherever you left, and that was your exit strategy to religion? No. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. He's saying no more. He wants authentic men and women that look a lot like himself.
Yes.
That's the difference. He does not want a religion. He does not want a great worship service. He wants men and women to look a lot like himself. And
yeah,
it is not going to happen if we don't get naked, get in front of the mirror, and are willing to look at what is capping us from life.
Yeah.
Right? The fullness of life.
Yeah.
All right. So this is all still before chapter 11. We're still doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I listed this out very, just very plainly. I just got it straight from the word, but I'm just going to release it because I want to say it over and over again. What is the fruit of circumcision then? What is the fruit? We know the opposite of not being circumcised, what that is, but now what is the fruit of circumcision? You fear Adonai. Now, this is interesting because, well, let me just say what I heard. I want you to fear Adonai more than yourself. And I want to let that settle. I want you to fear Adonai more than your loss. I want you to fear Adonai more than your gain. I want you to fear him more than your whatever, which means you are completely in awe of him. Being in fear of him is being in awe of him. But I want us to hear it from the perspective of, could we be a people that are more taken back by if he was to do what he wanted, he would utterly destroy us.
Yeah.
And let that drive us more than the fear that I have in losing something.
Yeah.
Or gaining something.
Yeah.
That makes sense? Second fruit of circumcision is to walk in all of his ways. I highlighted all. Walking in all of his ways does not mean learning about them. It means walking in them.
Yeah.
And all of them.
Yeah.
Not some of them. Number three, love him. Number four, serve him. With what? Cardin. Is it Cardin that's been texting me or boxing? With all your heart and all your soul. It's not just action either. You guys have to hear that. I really hone in action because we have to move and we have to do. But you're to love him and serve him, not just in action. Anybody can check a box. It has to be with all your heart and all your soul, which means it's not just action either, but it's with your whole being. It's true desire. Not because someone told you. This is where the ownership comes in. It's being in awe of him and admiring who he is with the fullness of your every cell. Sometimes there are times where, this is super practical, sometimes when I'm just with him, I will, I will tell every cell in my body to turn its attention. Like I'll physically see like mitochondria, like make my cells move and like turn, and they have to worship. Or that I wouldn't just in my mind or my thoughts, I submit my thoughts to you, I submit my mind to your, my mind to you, but let the soles of my feet be aware of who you are. Let my knees operate in the fullness of what you've created them to be. Let every cell in my being, let every nerve, I don't know how to explain, let every seat of emotion, let every energy field, let everything in me that has breath, praise the Lord. Now it's not a song. It is a posture of loving him and serving him.
Yeah.
Okay? Good?
Yeah.
Second part, when it says love him and serve him with all your heart and all your soul, it says guard and keep his instructions. Go back to take care. So if you love him and you serve him, you will do it with all of your heart, all your soul, and how you're going to do it is by guarding and keeping his instructions. All right, homework assignment. We're almost done. I'm doing good. You guys okay?
Yeah.
All right, homework assignment, verse 17 through 22. I'm going to read it. This is the homework. Because the next question that when I read this, the next question I ask is how?
Yeah.
How do I walk in all of your ways? How do I love him? How do I serve him? How do I fear him? He's so good. He gives us verse 17. So he tells us what's required of us. Then he says how you're going to do it. So verse 17 through 22, let me say this first before I read it. Verse 17 through 22, you are to emulate. You are to become. You have to remember and praise from this point. So the homework, I know we're moving into another Torah portion, but I want you to read verses 17 through 22 daily. But I don't want you to just read it. If you have to read it, like the first time you read it, you might be like, especially if you're like coming out of something, like, you know, for me when I'm having to come out of something, I'll read something, I'll be like, okay, you guys know I've talked to you guys about this before, but there was a season in my life where I had to learn to love myself. So have I told you guys this? I would look in the mirror and I would have to say, you know, I'd have to say something, and the first time I would be like, you know, I love you. And it would just be like, this is awkward or it's weird or it'd be hard. And then I'd say it again, and then it would be like a little crack. And I'd have to say it again until the fullness of my emotion matched what I was saying. Because when that feeling comes, that's when you know it's in your DNA. If you just say something, it didn't happen. Name it, claim it, don't work.
Yeah.
If you read it, nothing happened. Read it again and again until something breaks.
Okay?
So we're going to read it. For Adonai your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God who does not show partiality or take a bribe. He enacts justice for the orphan and widow and loves the outsider, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the outsider, for you were outsiders in the land of Egypt. Adonai your God will fear. Him will you serve. To him will you cling, and by his name will you swear. He is your praise and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now Adonai your God has made you like the stars of the heavens in number. I want you to read that over and over again, because that is what you're emulating. That, remember when I said you become Torah? This is what you're becoming.
Yeah.
You're knowing that you go in one way and you're going to come out as numerous as the stars. You're going to understand what it looks like to bring justice, not to take a bribe, to not show partiality. You're going to learn how to love the outsider. You're going to remember that you were once the outsider. This is going to keep you humble, but it's also going to be like, I serve the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great and mighty and awesome God who literally does everything outside of your horribleness.
Yeah.
You have no merit. Other than to be completely destroyed, and yet he chooses. Amen? So, to me, those scriptures are how you keep yourself walking, loving, serving, and fearing. Okay? All right. You guys in the Torah portion? Let me make sure you're in the Torah portion. Last week was difficult. That Torah portion and calling us out was hard. Don't move from that place and say, you're God of gods. You're the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And read it. Let me see if I can say this another way. He is your praise and he is your God who has done for you these great things. Don't read this like a story. Well, he did a lot of things for the Israelites when he took them out of Egypt. What has he done for you? I've talked about this before. We can get into the weeds about what Torah portion we're in and what we've done. We're all here because he did a great and mighty work to take us out of deception, take us out from ourselves, take us off the path of utter destruction. We would be on the wrong side of history if he did not absolutely move us to a place. That's what I mean by being in the Torah portion. Let this be real, that if you found yourself being the robot last week and you had no idea that I was talking to you, that you would take this week and let that fuel you to be able to emulate these things from a place I have now seen. I have seen the destruction and the destroyer in my life that was after the destroyer was after my life, my kid's life, my family's life. Acknowledging that and what he does to get us away from that would fuel us to never again get dull. Never again let this be familiar. Never again blame. Never again accuse. Never again self-preserve. Never again fall asleep. Never again be okay with being numb. Never again just subtly die. Never again say, you know what, I'll settle before the promised land. Never again be those people, like I said on the box. If it's only me, fine. But why? If we all had the same tenacity, we would all be together on the other side.
Yeah.
Be the one that says, if it costs me everything, do not let me get taken out.
Yeah.
And don't let me be the one to take others out.
Yeah.
Right? Don't, that's... We're in the Torah portion because he gave us a chance to be like, hello, we've been doing this for almost 3 years and we're starting to get a little familiar.
Yeah.
We're starting to fall back into Christianity and we just kind of show up and we do whatever we want and we're all going our own way and we nod and say that was good and mom's cute sometimes and annoying other times and just what we do and we'll wait for the Shavuot meeting and we've got a feast and I think we're kind of on the right track. This feels a little bit better than Christianity, but I can still be a shell of a person.
Yeah.
I can still have no life. I can still have no transformation.
Yeah.
And then I'm under the impression we're all being transformed. And then all of a sudden there's a Torah portion and I'm like, holy shit. Sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
Oh my gosh. I have some other words of finding out. I'm that pastor.
Yeah. You like it. Yeah.
I'm that pastor.
Yeah.
Getting all excited. With a 5-point sermon being like, isn't this great?
Right.
And then yet I'm going home and dying and it's boring and everybody's dead and nobody cares about it. Don't let me be that pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't fake me out.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to fake you out either.
Yes.
Right? Like, you wouldn't want me to come up here with some fake life?
Yeah.
Selling you something that's unauthentic? Would you? Wouldn't that suck?
Yeah.
Don't do it to me.
Yes.
Meaning, that's a vow. I promise that I'm not going to be that pastor that just eventually has to deal with such stiff-neckedness that they just become dead. That's why every cell of my body, right? But that means that's a requirement of you. Don't be the pew seater.
Yeah.
Don't be a warmer. Like just as much as on you to say, I am going to go after the life that he told me to go after,
yeah.
Or else I could have just stayed where I was.
Yeah.
You would have gotten a donut if you stayed over there. What are we doing this for if we don't go all the way? I'm really inappropriate. Never mind. Do you guys know where I'm going with them? It's like you're halfway and you're like, damn. I'm swirling. But think about that. Don't think about that. Never mind. But you know what I mean? Like, what would it matter to go through? What my point is, why would you come out of Exodus?
Yes.
Egypt, go through all that to be like,
right.
I'll just die. Taste and see is the point. So let's keep going. It's like there's like this pump that he's giving us to get us to where what's coming. Got it?
Yes.
Okay. I went to way other chapters. Oh, look, no mixing with idolaters. That's why you can't be an idolatry, because I don't want to mix with you.
Yes.
Where am I at? All right. You guys got your homework?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. This is crazy. I got so excited for chapter 11. Love and obey with all your heart. He said, I don't want you to touch that. I'm not to teach on chapter 11, and I'll tell you why. He does not want you to be enticed into obedience, but to be obedient from circumcision. Chapter 11 will come when your foreskin's gone.
That's good.
Read it. It's amazing. And I could go there and swirl and talk to you even about the Messianic era and how real. This is not a history story, chapter 11, guys. Read it again. It's not a history story. It is, but it is absolutely a future. But it's not going to do me any good to entice us of what's coming if we're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Right? So he wants us to not be enticed to what's coming. He doesn't want to encourage you into obedience.
Yes.
He wants you to be obedient from that place of circumcision, and he wants you to focus on that. And if you focus on circumcision, the promise will come. Okay?
Okay.
However, here's your homework assignment, chapter 11. I want you to pull out the strategy. Don't focus on the promise. I want you to pull out the strategy. How are you going to do everything I just said above? How are you going to love? How are you going to serve? How are you going to walk? How are you going to fear? How are you going to do it? There's some action words in chapter 11. I want you to go through the chapter 11, and I want you to get a highlighter, and I want you to highlight the action words in chapter 11. When it dings in your mind and in your heart that action word is going to help you emulate his characteristics, I want you to highlight it. Let me give an example. Verse 20, you are to write. Highlight. Diligently keep. Highlight. Bind them. Highlight. Whatever it is, when you see an action word, I want you to highlight it. That points you to the strategy. Teach is in here, talks about the generations. There's a lot in there. But I want you to focus on what the strategy is, not the promise. That's it. Okay? So two homework assignments. You're going to read until you feel verses 17 through 22, and you're going to highlight the action words in chapter 11. To repeat again, the fruit of circumcision is fear of Adonai, walk in all of his ways, love him, serve him, and then, of course, emulate him. And love and serve is with all of your being, not just parts of your being, and that you're going to guard and keep his instructions. And all of that is the antidote to your stiff-neckedness. So again, what happened last week, if it broke, he's giving you the strategy to keep it broke. If it didn't break, keep digging. Keep utilizing the strategy and keep tapping into that spirit of last week. I know it wasn't recorded, but tap into the spirit of what was going on last week and then continue with the pressure. Don't let last week's pressure let up, but let it continue. Amen? Done. Was it pointed?
Super pointed.
Precise.
Right?
No swirling except for that one time. Just delete all of what I said.
No, it was powerful. It was really great.
For you guys, you're not going to study and do all this stuff to write half a paper.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's a great example. You're going to go all the way and you're going to follow through and you're going to finish the paper and you're going to get a good grade. You're going to get an excellent grade. A++. You're going to blow your teacher's mind.
Write your paper. Some of them were like, are we not writing our papers? All right. Well, I just wanted to continue in that. I'll be as direct as possible, but I think that there is definitely an opportunity for a double portion. Knowing that practically last week we didn't even take an offering, and there it's been stockpiled from last week into this week.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a double portion in being able to sow into last week and this week and have it compounded as things really settle and we take those opportunities and are intentional in that. So if, like she's saying, if you didn't have exposure, if your house wasn't flipped upside down, if your life isn't completely transformed, if you're not a different person walking in here today, then you probably need to sow double. Like we can carry that, we can shift this.
Well, because you're a different person, you get to sow double.
Yes, yeah. Both sides. Which side of the coin are you? Right. And then, if you want to, add some protection around it. Sow in even more. Okay? All right, so let's establish it. Let's write it on the forefronts of our minds. Make it a vow. Like, don't forget what we're doing here. Make it practical. Put your money where it's supposed to go and really own that transformation. Okay?
Thank you for listening to this message from Kingdom Heirs International. If you have received insight and revelation with this message, we invite you to claim that revelation by trading on the trading floor with this ministry. You can do that at kingdomheirs.org. Thank you.